Genesis chapter 50, verse 1. Hear now the very words of God. And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants and the physicians to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. Then they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it is called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also wept, and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. All right, so let's move on then to the chapter at hand. We have in the first section, and I have that really all the way down to verse 14, but I have that a little bit divided up. We have Joseph weeping over his father, and it says that he kissed him, and so we note that as Dr. Candlish puts it,
that there was one last act of uncontrollable grief on the part of Joseph, that he burst forth in tears upon his father's death. Certainly, Joseph has been mindful these last 17 years of the great fellowship that he and Jacob have enjoyed and the many recountings of their early times together. And so we have Joseph weeping over his father's body. And we have an understanding that although Jacob goes to a place where it is indeed everlasting bliss in the presence of God, that there is a proper grief that we exhibit at our loved ones. But we do not grieve, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, as others which have no hope. Right? There is a difference in the way that we grieve and the way others grieve which have no hope. So then, Joseph grieves for his father. The second thing is that Joseph consents to have Jacob embalmed. Now, we might think that that was that Joseph has become jaded by Egyptian culture. I think not. I think really it has more to do with the fact that Jacob had made Joseph swear that he would carry him up to Canaan land to be buried, and that this is in order to that. It's a facility to it, right? So he was embalmed, and the embalming ritual of the Egyptians was indeed very elaborate. And it took 40 days. That was the length of time that they took, especially. And this this also informs us that Jacob was considered as a head of state. It was a 40-day embalming according to the best practices of Egypt. It wasn't just something that they gave, inattention to. And then it says that the Egyptians mourned for Jacob for 70 days. Is that right? 70, 70. 70 days they mourned for Jacob. Interestingly, that number 7 comes out there. It may be because of the 70 notables that came with Jacob into Egypt. But it is a very large number. And speaking of 7 times 10, so that's the number of completion times 10. 70 days they mourned for Jacob. Now then, we have this interesting thing. We have known Joseph all throughout his tenure in Genesis as a man who had a pretty good relationship with Pharaoh. Pretty intimate relationship. It seems that he could go and speak to Pharaoh at almost any time. And yet, notice that he speaks to Pharaoh's household here and says, I'd like to carry up my father to Canaan to bury him there. And there have been all kinds of speculations as to why this was done. Why didn't Joseph go to Pharaoh directly and ask leave? I think the answer, pushing aside from all the speculations, I think the answer has to do with the very fact that Jacob was recognized as a head of state. And so Joseph went through the proper political channels when it came to the burial of Jacob, instead of going directly, so that it would seem more like a personal favor, that Joseph, in order to preserve that recognition of Jacob as a head of state, goes through the proper kinds of channels through Pharaoh's household. And by household, don't think his family, think his court. So he goes through Pharaoh's court in order to maintain that head of state relationship that Jacob had enjoyed so far during his life in Egypt. I think that's what we see. And I think that is the best construction that we can put on it. Some have said, oh, the estrangement has already started between the people of Egypt and the people of Israel. I don't think so. I don't think that takes place at this point. Because if you take a look at the ensuing passage, you see what is essentially a state procession when Jacob's body is carried back to Canaan. Not only is it almost all of the Israelites, it says they left their little ones and their cattle. Can we just give a little bit of understanding to that phrase? I don't think they left only their children and their cattle in Goshen, that they left the kids in charge of the farms. But it meant that most of the adults went up with them to carry Egypt back home to bury him. And there was a state contingent from Egypt also that accompanied them. probably a force, a military force to keep them safe, with the kind of state officers that would be fitting for the carrying up of another head of state back to his home to be buried. So that's what I think we see here. And that's why Joseph goes through those channels in order to secure Jacob's burial in Canaan. We must admit it was a little bit of a delicate situation, but I think Joseph handles it exactly right in going through those proper delegations so that the delicacy of the situation is, you know, I mean, Pharaoh might have thought to himself, what, Egypt's not good enough to be buried in? He might have thought that, but Jacob was a head of state of another land, of another country, of another nation. And so Joseph follows those procedures. And I think that's why we see it going on like this. Okay, so then they traveled together to Canaan, and that begins in verse 10. And they stopped and they mourned together, it says. The Egyptians and the Israelites mourned. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, there may be that it may be that the mourning was a little bit different between the two of them. There was probably some mourning on the part of the Israelites because they had just come to the border of their land. Oh, and by the way, did you see that it says that they crossed over Jordan? Okay, so for those of you who know your maps, who've read the book of maps in your Bibles, what you're going to understand is that we have, you know, the Mediterranean Sea. Sorry, let me do it for you. Mediterranean Sea over here, the River Jordan here, right? And Egypt is down here. And so they come up out of Egypt and they cross to the eastern side, and then they come up on the eastern side of Jordan, and then they cross over into Jordan, taking almost exactly the same route that the Israelites will take later when they come out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. Interesting, isn't it? And so this is a kind of precursor to that. And so they come to the border of their land and they weep. And they weep because they are indeed a pilgrim people. They have the promises of God. They have this land that is held in hope and in abeyance for them. And now they have recognized that they will be in Egypt for a long time. Hundreds of years. And so with that kind of recognition, they weep at the floor of Atad there on their way in to the promised land. So then it is only the brothers and Joseph that carry the body across the Jordan into the land of Canaan to bury in the cave of Machpelah. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Well, it may be that the Egyptians stayed back because they didn't want to make it seem like they were invading the land of Canaan. Probably so. But there is another more spiritually rich understanding as well. Yes, that may have been the physical cause of it. But notice that the burial is although it is a state burial, it is still a family affair. Remember what Abraham said when Sarah died. He said, "Sell me the cave of Machpelah that I may bury my dead out of my sight." Notice that singular pronoun that Abraham uses over and again there. All right, so then in verses 15 and following, we have this next section. And it is interesting, isn't it? Because after Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, and I'd like to just key in on a couple of words here. Peradventure, Joseph will hate us. When he answers, does not use any kind of quote-unquote peradventure. Joseph might. There is a contingency here that we're mindful of. Joseph may now come to hate us. He might hate us. And Joseph says, when he responds to them at the end of the chapter, there is no contingency here at all. I think the contrast between those two attitudes is very telling. They say, perhaps Joseph will hate us. Joseph says, there's no perhaps here. You thought evil, God meant it for good. That's really the end of the story. His sovereignty is not assaulted here one bit. So to contrast those two terms, I think, is important as we read the narrative here. And then the other thing that is important is we have seen, I haven't taken a lot of time to expand it because it really is a very long expansion, and these are indeed readings. But I will say this, that we have seen snippets of Joseph as a type of Christ. Here's another snippet. Are you ready? The brothers come and they say, before he died, our father said, tell Joseph to forgive. So they're telling Joseph, please, do the will of your father. Notice they say thy father. Do the will of your father and forgive us. Well, we can't just leave that lie. It is indeed the will of the Father that Jesus should lay His life down and that He should forgive, isn't it? And so Mr. Candlish goes on for several paragraphs on this type of Christ that Joseph appears to be here at the end of the chapter. So then Joseph, it says that he wept when they came to him. So far is Joseph from holding any grudge, from holding any animosity toward his brethren, that when they come forward and say, your father commanded before he died that we should come to you and say these words, it says that Joseph wept when he heard that. Some have said they made it up. I don't know why they would. I don't know why they would make it up, except that we should put the worst construction on their minds. I think Jacob probably did command that they would come to Jacob during those 17 years after he came to Egypt, that he lived. They might come to Jacob and they might say, Dad, what's going to happen after you die with us and Joseph? And Jacob could most reasonably have said, just tell Joseph that I told that I wanted him to forgive you. But I don't think Joseph needed that kind of encouragement. I don't think he needed it at all. In fact, I think that's what his tears prove. His tears prove that he had such a love and care for his brethren that it was the farthest thing from his mind to exact any kind of vengeance upon them for what they did to him. And the reason he would not exact any vengeance is because he looked not upon their evil work, but upon God's good work. You want to overcome anger? You want to overcome vengeance and irritability and impatience with others when you think they do you wrong? Then look not upon their evil work. Look upon God's good work in it. Because nothing happens outside of His purview. There are just so many more things to be said here, and I feel like I'm jipping you, but we're up against the clock, so let's move on. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your Psalters.